Good morning, East. It is so good to be here to worship this morning. Won't you stand with us?
Now the darkness fades. It's a new beginning. As we lift our eyes to the hope beyond, all creation waits with an expectation to declare the reign of the Lord our God. We will not be moved when the earth is weighed, for the risen one is overcome. For every fear is an empty grave, for the risen one is overcome. Now the silence breaks in the name of Jesus, as the heavens cry, let the earth respond. All creation shouts with the voice of triumph to declare the reign of the Lord our God. Oh, we will not be moved when the earth is away, for the risen one is overcome. And for every fear is an empty grave, for the risen one is overcome. Shall reign forever. Strongholds now surrender, for the Lord our God is overcome. Who can be against us? Jesus, our defender, he is Lord and he has overcome. Who can be a stronghold? When the earth gives way, for the risen one is overcome. And for every fear, there's an empty grave. For the risen one is overcome. We will not be moved when the earth gives way, for the risen one is overcome. And for every fear, there's an empty grave. For the risen one is overcome.
Amen. Let's give him some praise this morning.
As soon as I get done with the welcome, we're going to watch a baptism video once I'm done with the welcome, okay? All right, so just want to welcome you to East Leesville Baptist Church. If you're a guest this morning, it usually is not this way. All right, that's first thing I need to tell you. Usually things are ready to go. So second thing is I want to just welcome you and thank you for being part of our fellowship this morning and worshiping here with us. We'd love to get some information from you if you're one of our guests. And so on the back of your bulletin, there's a little QR code that you can scan and give us your information electronically that way. If you're down seated below on the back seat, on the back of the seat in front of you, there is a card that you can fill out old school style and place that in the offering plates when they come by, so we get the information that way. And then at the end, we'd love to meet you so you can go out the doors to the right down to the cafe area after the service is over. We got a little token of our appreciation for you joining us today, and we can give you any kind of information that you might need or desire from us about what's going on at East Leesville Baptist Church. Hey, our mission focus for this week happens to include me. So myself and BMAC and Kylie and David McConathy are going, we're heading to Italy on Tuesday to go meet with Anthony and Mackenzie Wilson there and encourage them and stand beside them and work with them in their mission with Cadence International in Vicenza, Italy. And so she happens to be my daughter, and he happens to be my son-in-law as well. So it's a dual-purpose trip, but I definitely am looking forward to ministering to soldiers while I'm there and being able to worship with them and see the kind of things that they've been doing in the two-plus years that they've been there already. Hey, we have us. So be praying for that group as we fly out on Tuesday. And for our scripture today, can you put it up on the screen for me? Is Romans 8, verses 31 through 39. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. And who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness?
Amen. Take your Bibles. We're in the letter, the epistle of 1 John. 1 John beginning in chapter 5 today. We're working our way verse by verse, chapter by chapter through this letter. I'll leave tomorrow to go find my wife. My wife left Tuesday. She's supposed to leave Monday. And she was on a plane with Delta, and it didn't leave Alexandria. Actually, it never even got to Alexandria. It had a cracked windshield. And then on Tuesday, she got from Alexandria to Atlanta, and then they had to change the front tire on her plane from Atlanta to Greensboro. And then later that day, I heard of a plane landing in Carolina without a front tire down. It was like, it wasn't my wife's plane, it was a Delta plane, but it was in Charlotte, not Greensboro. And then they got on the runway, it said the door wouldn't shut. And so she's had some adventures, but I've had some adventures as well. I don't seem quite myself when my wife is not in the house. I had gone Friday to Lowe's to get some propane for my fireworks torch. Amen? Y'all ready? I'm ready for tonight. We're going to have some fun. Y'all need to quit sending me these memes and stuff about fingers and stuff with fireworks. There's two main issues that cause firework injuries. And one of those is abuse of alcohol, and the other is stupidity. And I'm only in danger of one of those. And so we're going to be okay. But I went to Lowe's, and then that guy that sells the hot dogs, you ever have one of them hot dogs? That's a good hot dog, but it's a mess. Y'all ready to hear some preaching today? I got to get to the word. It's a good hot dog. But then I was going to the movies, and so I looked down to make sure I didn't have any of that hot dog on my shirt. And I'd been wearing my shirt inside out all morning. So I've not been right all week. And so y'all just excuse me. I'm not quite right, but I'm ready to see my wife. We're going to get up early tomorrow morning. We're going to head to North Carolina. My kids don't like to stop. I usually like to stop, but I don't even think I'm going to stop tomorrow except for gas and bathroom breaks. And we're going to hit North Carolina in about 13 hours. It'll be easy. Lord willing. Amen. And so, but today, let's talk about a call to be an overcomer. God has called us to walk in victory and to be overcomers. And we do that through our faith and love in Christ Jesus. And John is beginning to close out this letter. He's in the final leg of this letter, and he's really just reiterating what he's been saying the whole time, that we are to love God and to love others. Our core values are love God, love people, seek the lost, and make disciples. And John is working through this letter and reminding us of those important details. We'll finish up this first letter of John in a couple weeks. Joy is going to preach next Sunday. I'll be in North Carolina. I'll be back on the 16th. But since I'm going to be on vacation all week, we're bringing in a reliever from the bullpen, a former full-time player, now just a full-time church member. Jason Keys is going to finish out 1 John chapter 5 for us. You remember that, right? You're good. We're good. All right. Just double checking. I don't seem to have all my ducks in a row this morning. I just want to make sure everything's where I think it is. And so we're excited about that. I'm looking forward to heckling him, encouraging him from the audience and hearing him preach to his church family, to our church family. But here in John, we show our love for God by loving others. Verse 1 and 2, look with me in the text. We show our love for God by loving others. One of the greatest testimonies that we love God is that we love those around us. Look what John says. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. John is just reiterating his clear message in this letter. Love God with all we have. And if we love God with all we have, we're going to love others, and especially the brothers, with all we have. It's clearly an important point that John has been trying to make through the whole letter. Let me just show you. 1 John 2, 10 and 11. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there's no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Chapter 3, verse 10. By this it is evident who are the children of God. So this is one of the clearest testimonies that you belong to God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. In verse 14, same chapter. We know that we have passed out of death into life. Why? Because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Chapter 3, verse 23. I'm not going to read the whole book. I'm just showing you how many times, and not even all of them, that John reiterates this point. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son Jesus Christ and love one another just as he has commanded us. And then earlier in chapter 4, 7 through 8, beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Here's one of the ways for you to examine your life and determine whether or not you really know God. Do you love one another? Not perfectly, but consistently and faithfully. If you love God, you will love the body of Christ. If you love God genuinely and passionately, you will love the body of Christ genuinely and passionately. If you love God and want fellowship with God, you will desire fellowship with the body of Christ. If you have no desire to be with the body of Christ, you are either lost or you're not loving God like you ought to. It's not a matter of salvation. It's just a matter of whether or not you're healthy or not. Do you love God and do you love one another? God has shown us that we show him love by how we love one another. Listen, I can tell you story after story of how many of you are loving one another well. I just do not believe we can love each other too much. I just don't think that's possible. So just think, how would God have you love him and love the body of Christ? This church is not perfect. I know the pastor really well. But this is a church that loves God and loves people. But may God enable us by his grace to love one another more fully and to love him more. We show love for God when we love others, but we also show our love for God through obedience. We ought to obey God. Go back to verse 2. We're going to read verse 2 again and then go into verse 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. This is how we show we love God. We keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Listen, there's a balance here. There's a balance between grace and knowing God and walking in obedience, and then there's the extremes on either side. On one side, you have legalism. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment, but it's like, if you break one little rule, God doesn't love you anymore. Listen, that's a lie. That's not the truth of Scripture. God loves you perfectly right now. And if you disobey him this afternoon, he'll still love you perfectly. He will not love your actions perfectly. He will not agree or confirm or celebrate your actions, but there's no way God can love you more than he loves you right now. And there is no power, there's no victory, there's no overcoming in legalism, because legalism says it's all about us. And we need to rest in the grace and the mercy of Christ. But then there's the other extreme, which is known, the big word is antinomianism, which means just do whatever you want. God's grace, you can just sin all you want to, and he's still going to love you. He's still going to love you, but you will reap the consequences of that disobedience. That's nonsense. That's heresy to think you can do whatever you want and expect God's blessing. Listen, as I've studied Scripture, if you can do whatever you want and stay out of conviction and live like you're not doing anything wrong, you don't belong to Him. You're not His. Why? Because God will discipline those that are His. One of the clearest things I look for when somebody's in my office and asking about, I just don't know if I know Christ, I want to hear them talk about, do you ever get convicted of sin? And you say, well, you want them to be convicted of sin? Absolutely, I want you to be convicted of sin. I'm grateful that I'm convicted of sin because that is one of the clearest evidences that I belong to Him. If you can just do whatever you want and never feel any draw of the Holy Spirit to change and be more like Jesus, the clearest evidence is you're not His. So we don't want antinomianism. We don't want legalism. We want God's plan and God's grace. But if we love Him, we'll obey Him. Listen to what He's taught us to love one another. And so if we love God, we're gonna love one another. We love God and keep His commandments. We keep His commandments by loving one another. Love for others is clearly commanded here and elsewhere in Scripture. You remember Jesus, right? Amen. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, they were trying to argue, the legalists, they sat around all day, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, and they would argue with each other. Which one's the most important point of the law? All these laws, hundreds and hundreds of laws. There's like 365 negative laws and 200 and something positive laws, and they just sat around and argued all day about which one's the most important. And so they thought they had Jesus in a bind. They said, we're going to ask Him which one's the most important, because every one of them had their idea. And so they're like, Jesus is going to make everybody mad. Because like it's like, you know, who's your favorite SEC team, right? Well, in Louisiana, you're kind of safe. Up in here, you're not, because you got them Roll Tides and them Go Dogs and all them other folks, and some of them even Gator Chomps or whatever, but it can be kind of contentious sometimes. But it's even worse when you're among religious, legalistic people. So they're the worst in some ways. There's no victory. There's no overcoming. There's no peace. But they're like, we're going to ask Him. He's going to answer. And some of us may agree with Him, but most of us, He's gonna make angry. But here's what He answered when they asked Him what the greatest commandment was. He said, you know this. He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Listen, if you'll get that right, if we'll just get that right, when we love God, we're going to obey Him everywhere else He wants us to obey Him. But He says, the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there was a hush over the crowd. Because they knew it was right. That's the Shema. That's what they've been taught from the time they were itty-bitty babies. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Here in verse 3, He says that we keep the commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep the commandments. The idea there, the word is to observe or to practice or to carry out. It's not a talk. It's not something we talk about. It's not something we think about. It's what we do. It's an action. It's in the present active subjunctive, which means we keep on keeping. We don't just keep His commandments once in a while. We walk and keep His commandments day by day as we walk with Him. If we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. Listen to what Jesus said. If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, John 14, 23 and 24. If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to Him and make our home with Him. And he who does not love Me does not keep My words, and the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father's who sent Me. Listen, here's what happens when we sin. We're telling Jesus we don't love Him. Right then, we're telling Jesus we love our sin, and we love ourselves more than we love Jesus. The more we love Jesus, the less we'll have to deal with sin. I believe it's heresy to think that we can reach perfection. But the more we fall in love with Jesus, the less we want with sin. It's true, right? I mean, come on now. If you've walked with God for any season of time, I don't struggle with sin when I'm walking close with Jesus. Not in the same way. Not in the same reality. There's still temptation. There's still things that'll jump up at me. But when I'm walking and loving Jesus like I ought to love Jesus, sin just looks stupid. I don't usually use the S word in the pulpit, but that's the only thing I can think of. It's just silly. It's nonsense. What can sin ever give you? Nothing. But unmet promises, fleeting pleasure, and destruction. That's what sin brings. But we'll say sometimes, I love my sin more than I love God. I love my sin more than I love Jesus. There's just no value. Oh, Lord, help us love Jesus more than anything else in the world. And we'll be able to deal more fully with the temptations that face us. Here's the reality. as we love Jesus, we're reminded over and over again that he's already dealt with the problem of our sin. And we see it for the foolishness that it is. But if we're not walking and loving Jesus like we ought to walk and love Jesus, it will pull us in deeper and deeper and deeper until it can destroy everything possible that it can destroy. If we love Jesus, he says, we will obey his word. But Jesus says, and John reminds us here, his commands are not burdensome. This is not some heavy load for us to carry. This is not some dictator or wicked master that's just trying to play games with us. Everything that Jesus and God and his word have given us to obey is for his glory, but all of it is also for our good. It's the best way. It's the best path. It's not an extra burden. It's not an extra load for us to carry. Jesus says this in the text, come to me. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How? Take my yoke. Oh, that means he's in charge. That means he guides us, and we don't want to give up control. I want all the good things from Jesus, but I want to be in charge. It don't work that way. That's not how Jesus rolls with us. We've got to give control over to him. If we're to receive the blessing and the rest and the ability to walk closer to him, we've got to surrender. We've got to die to self that we might live for Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There's some people up in here this morning. What you desperately need is some rest for your souls. Rest in Christ Jesus. This life is hard. This life is difficult. This life has struggles and trials and tribulations. Well, you're just not the positive preacher I like to hear. I'm positive. This life has trials and struggles and tribulations. But oh, that we'd be surrendered to Christ, walking with him and in his strength and not our own. I'm telling you, I need God's grace and God's strength. I can't do any of the things God has called me to do in my strength. I'm not able. Well, that's not very manly. Oh, that's the most manly thing you can ever do is recognize you are desperately and totally dependent upon Jesus. I'm not all the way there yet. Closer than I was. We ought to delight in his law. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in all of the Bible. Caleb and I were reading through the Psalms a couple years ago. Well, maybe last year. I can't remember. It's one of our time books that we've read through. And most of the Psalms you can read like quick. I mean, it's boom, you know, 5-6 verses. That's it. It's like easy reading. And but Psalm 119, that joker's long. It's a lot of it. It's stanzas of 8 different verses, and each verse is the first letter of one of the Hebrew letters of the alphabet, and it goes through the whole alphabet, and it takes a while to read all of Psalm 119, but if you pay attention as you're reading Psalm 119, in every verse, nearly every verse, there's a reference to God's law and God's plan and God's commands, and the psalmist is rejoicing that God's laid out a plan for us. It's there. Everything you need for life and victory and overcoming is in the Word of God. Listen to just a few of the examples for Psalm 119. Verse 14 says this, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Verse 16, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. 24, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. See, a lot of y'all get your counseling on YouTube or TikTok or Facebook or Twitter. And God's word is a much better counselor. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. God's law is not burdensome. It is a gift to us to direct us in how we should live, to give him glory and to know we can have his blessing and honor on our life. It doesn't take away the trials. It doesn't take away life. It doesn't take away the tribulations. It doesn't take away temptation. But it gives you everything you need to walk in victory and as an overcomer. Look at verse 4. Through the love of God and by faith we are overcomers. Look at the text. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? How do we know that we can overcome the world, that we belong to Christ, that we've been born again? In chapter 4, verse 2 of 1 John, he says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 of our letter that we're walking through, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. How are you an overcomer? It's only through Christ Jesus. It's only through the gospel. It's only through trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We overcome because Jesus has overcome. Chapter 4, verse 14 and 15 of 1 John, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And just like our text in Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? But do you understand that when you're not a child of God, you're an enemy of God? Oh, preacher, all God's children. You ain't read 1 John. That's not what John says. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we're either children of God or we're children of the devil. You're one of the two, and you can't be a child of God unless you've been saved through Christ Jesus. Amen. How are we overcomers? The verb there, to overcome, is nikeo. The noun is nike, like Nike. It's the word that they get Nike from. It means victory. It's also the Greek goddess of victory. That's not all that important, but that we're victorious, we're overcomers in Christ Jesus. I believe that many wrongly look at this and think our victory only comes when we get to heaven. I believe God's called us to have victory now, to be overcomers now. Not that we can tell the world, you can never harm me. Not that we can tell cancer to always go away. Not that we can say, I'll never die. You're going to die. This is really an encouraging sermon, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. You and I, if Jesus tarries, 100 out of 100, we're going to die of something. Well, don't you believe in healing? I believe God could heal you 20 times before it's all said and done. You're going to die of something. But then you're going to live and have victory over sin, death, and the grave if you have trusted in Christ. If you're a believer, every single one of us will be healed for eternity. But it won't be here, it'll be in heaven. And there will be victory there, but I believe there'll be victory here. God desires for us to walk not in bondage of sin, but in victory over sin. Not in bondage of fear and anxiety, but in victory over fear and anxiety. God intends for us to walk in victory. Listen to what Jesus said. John 16:33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. And I just want you to understand, Jesus said the same things I've been saying, right? I'm just trying to repeat what he said. In this world you will have tribulation. Jesus said, I know TV preachers tell you if you give them enough money and have enough faith, you'll never have any problems. He is a liar, or she, whichever one it is. They're liars. If they tell you if you give them enough money, have enough faith, or even if they say you have enough faith, you'll never have any trouble, they're liars. That's a Greek word for they're liars. The other Greek word is idios, but they're liars. You might figure out where the English word for that is. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. It's going to happen. You're either in tribulation, you just came out of tribulation, or some tribulation's coming. But take heart. Here's the encouragement. But take heart. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And because Jesus overcome the world, we can overcome the world. We can praise Jesus in the midst of the tribulation. We can give Jesus glory in the midst of the trials. 1 John 4:4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. John, in Revelation, God inspires him to write this, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. See, our problem sometimes is we think if we have any trouble, then God doesn't love us or God's not on our side. Sometimes God sends the trouble so that we'll remember we need him. And we'll recognize that we're desperately dependent upon him. Or sometimes it's just because he's got something else bigger for us down the road that if we don't go through this now, whatever's down the road will whoop us up one side and down the other. And so we best be going through the training. Romans 8, 37 and 39, not all of what we read earlier, but part of it. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. You know what that means, anything else in all creation? That includes you and me. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're his, you can't make yourself not be his. He said, I was saved one time and I don't believe anymore, I'm lost now. You were never saved. Or you're still saved and you're just foolish and don't realize it. If you were ever God's, you're going to stay his. And that might be a fun little journey you're about to have if you're his. 1 Corinthians 15, 56 through 58. The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. We have common enemies. Sin, death, and the grave. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we love God, we will love others. If we love God, we will obey his commandments. If we love God and walk with God, he will enable us to live not a defeated life, not a life without trials and troubles and tribulations, but a life of an overcomer and a life of victory in Christ Jesus. You say, preacher, what's that look like? I think it looks different for all of us, but what it doesn't look like is living in defeat, living in sin, living in uselessness for the gospel, living in guilt. That's not where God wants you to be. Now, you ought to feel conviction over your sin, but when you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. When we bring up sin that's already been forgiven, you kind of, I don't know if you even kind of, I think you're sinning because you're not trusting God. You're missing the mark in how you should trust God. You say, preacher, I feel bad about it. Well, here's the deal. If you've confessed it and you've repented of it and you've turned from it, God does not intend for you to walk in guilt. He wants you to walk forward in victory. Why? Because he's already paid the price for that. No matter, preacher, you don't know what my sin is. I don't have to know what your sin is. If it can't cover yours, it can't cover mine. And I'm convinced the Word of God says it covers mine. And so it covers yours. They might have different names, but they're all just sin. And Jesus paid the price. But we can't do this in our strength. It's got to be walking daily with him, filled with his Spirit as a child of God. And then the Spirit that dwells in us does the work. It's not about us doing better. Lord, help us. If it's, oh man, if I just do better, if I just do better. That's an endless hamster wheel. Lord, enable me to love you more. Because the more I love him, the more I will obey him, and the more he'll use me for his glory and for my good. So you just got to decide. I've got to decide. Am I going to live my life in a way that shows I love Jesus more than anything else? I'm a Cowboys fan. I remember back in the day, old Terrell Owens. Great receiver. Not the greatest person as far as you could tell from the fruit sometimes, but he may be a great person now. His mama loves him, amen? But I remember he said one time, he was a great interview. I mean, it was fun to watch him on camera, on the field and in the interview. But he said this one time, he said, I just love me some me. I love me some me. That's our problem. Sam. How about we love us some Jesus? I promise you, hey guys, you love you some Jesus, your wife will love you more. She'll like you more. She'll probably love you the same. She'll like you more. Ladies, you love you some Jesus. I just find that women that love Jesus, most of the time their husbands get nicer. because God makes them. God convicts me of all kinds of stuff just because of Carol Ann. I'm convinced. She can pray on Tuesday. By Thursday, I'm convicted, and I'm like, all right, you know, praise the Lord. Our problem is we love me some me. What if the world saw a church full of people that just love Jesus with reckless abandon? Doesn't matter what the cause, we're just going to love Jesus. Well, first you got to be saved. Some of you haven't ever trusted in Christ. You've been trying to fix it, do it yourself all this time. You just need to come to Jesus. You know right where you sit. I know God knows, but I believe you know if you've never really trusted in Christ. Some of you need to trust in Christ. And I'm going to ask you in a moment, our musicians are going to come get ready. Our pastors are going to be ready. Just come and take me and one of the other pastors by the hand and say, hey, I'm tired of this mess. I just need to trust Jesus. And we'll walk in that journey with you and share what the Bible says Jesus has already done that you might be saved. The rest of us, there's a lot, most of you, you love Jesus. You've been saved. Your testimony is you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. We've been saved. But, oh, man, here's my prayer. Lord, whatever it takes, help me love you more completely. By your spirit and by your grace, by your strength. Not my doing better, but by your strength. Whatever it takes, help me love Jesus more. It'll change everything else. At the very least, every day, help me love Jesus much more than I love myself. And love me some me. That I would be selfless instead of selfish. Because that's really all sin is selfish. And God's called us to be selfless. Pray with me. Father, we love you. Oh, Lord, I love you. These people, so many of them, there's no doubt in my mind, they love you. Lord, I know in a crowd this size, there's some, they're not able to love you because they're not yours yet. They know they need you. And I pray as we respond, they would just surrender and come to Christ. But that for all the rest of us, you would help us love you more in our labor, in our hobbies, in our thoughts, in our watching, in our talking, and in our hearing, in every aspect of our lives, that it would just scream, we love Jesus. And Lord, not to be selfish, but to be selfless, but Lord, in some ways that we would selfishly love Jesus, that we would just, no matter what the cost, that we would just love you, knowing that it's glorifying you. But Lord, even this in a spiritual self-preservation, it's what's best for us. Change our hearts. Help us grow in our love for you, Lord. Whatever needs to happen for that to be the reality. Whether it's for some of the men and women in here that it's to be saved, but for others it's to take a step of obedience and baptism or surrendering to a call to ministry or a call to service of some sort or a step of obedience you've called them to. Others it's to lay down and to walk away from specific sin that's got stronghold. Others it's to ask forgiveness in a relationship or a friendship. For others, it's to let go of bitterness and to grant forgiveness to one that may not even have asked, but to already just grant that forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Lord, whatever you need to do in us that we might love you more, that you might enable us to obey you more, that we might just shine the light and the glory of Christ in the gospel. Have your way, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.